Before we begin, I'd just like to acknowledge the partners of the Detroit Urban Research Center and the co-authors, the cast of thousands listed there on the slide, two of whom are here today, Barbara Israel and Julia Weinert, also our colleague Becca Cheesham from the Urban Research Center. And today we're going to describe a little bit about the Urban Research Center. We've talked about the URC and other venues here over the years, but spend most of our time talking about how we're trying to expand our existing infrastructure to create new community academic research partnerships and projects in Detroit. We have no financial relationships to disclose. So we know that there's a greater need for the development of more equitable community academic partnerships to examine and address health inequities. And at the same time, community and academic entities need enhanced capacity to conduct such research. And also infrastructures are necessary to create and sustain such partnerships. So the Detroit URC is a long-standing CBPR partnership, and we've successfully created an infrastructure that's fostered CBPR basic research interventions and translation to policy change projects. Given the limited resources, though, and the increasing health issues that currently exist in Detroit, there's a need to expand such partnerships, and we're currently expanding and reconfiguring our infrastructure to address this. Just a little bit of history and accomplishments about the Urban Research Center before we get into the heart of the presentation. We were established in 1995 through funding from the CDC. They established an initiative called the Urban Research Centers. Two other centers in Seattle and New York City were also funded at this time. And this funding provided core infrastructure support to establish the center. And that was a key aspect of our initial funding. Infrastructure, just to be clear about what we mean, we use that word a lot, but it's not funding for programs or research projects. It's funding to provide resources for the basic physical and organizational structures that you need to operate something, and to provide the services and facilities necessary for it to function. And while some federal and private foundation funding is available to establish infrastructures, it's very, very difficult to find funding to sustain them. And so the initial support that we got from the CDC provided us with the resources to hire, for example, key staff, graduate students, provide some salary support for faculty involved, stipends for our community partners, funds for travel and other operating expenses to maintain the center. And all of this provided leverage for us to then go after additional funding from multiple sources to establish new CBPR projects as part of the new center. During the first year and a half, we spent a lot of time, as many CBPR partnerships do, establishing our principles and operating procedures, other processes, as well as our priorities. And then in the next 7 years or so after that, we developed over 20 new CBPR projects, bringing in about $25 million in the process from multiple sources. And thus, in that process, the Detroit URC became an umbrella partnership under which multiple affiliated partnerships and projects were established, focusing on issues like the social and physical environmental determinants of cardiovascular disease, environmental triggers for childhood asthma, prevention and management of diabetes, among many other topics. Currently, the URC involves representatives from the community and academic organizations shown here, and we work in the east side of Detroit, where approximately 95% African Americans live, and in southwest Detroit, which is the area where the largest percentage of Latinos live, about 60%. We also are now working in other neighborhoods in Detroit, but historically and primarily we're still working in those two areas. And the center is directed by a board comprised of representatives from each of the partner organizations shown here. Our overarching aim, as it's evolved over the years, is to examine and address the social and physical environmental determinants of health aimed at eliminating health inequities and using and building capacity to use CBPR. I won't go through each of these additional accomplishments that we've achieved over the years, but just to make the point that things like enhancing the capacity to conduct CBPR, fostering communication and collaboration, developing new CBPR projects, building on findings and creating new generations of CBPR projects within the respected partnerships were really enabled by the infrastructure support that we had from the very beginning. But then in 2004, the CDC decided to end its support for the Urban Research Centers Initiative, and our partnership then embarked on a year and a half strategic planning process to figure out how we were going to sustain ourselves. Significantly, there was no question that the partnership would end. It was just a matter of figuring out how we could keep going. We also, as part of that process, started to focus a little bit more intently on how we could explicitly focus on policy-related and capacity-building goals. For about 3 years, we were able to secure some bridging funds from the university, from the Kellogg Foundation, that provided some support, but very limited, to keep ourselves going, some support for staff and community partners, and some operating costs. In 2007, a local foundation in Detroit, the Skillman Foundation, funded us for a specific project to do policy advocacy, capacity building, but some of those funds, again, gave us some limited resources to keep the infrastructure going. But we didn't have what we really needed to expand the work, given the need that was out there, and to develop new collaborative research efforts. And in 2009, the NIH, as part of the National Recovery Act funds that were being dispersed at that point, issued a call for proposals to expand community academic research centers. So it was perfect for us, and we applied for and were awarded one of these grants, and we began last year. And now Gloria is going to talk about what we've been doing with these resources to expand our partnership.
Hi, everybody. Okay, so as the Detroit URC was growing in terms of the number of multiple CBPR projects they had, there was a limited number of community and academic partners involved. And then this lessened the time to expand due to increased work across current projects. A lot of our partners, the community and academic partners, have taken on a number of different projects. And so, and they're all kind of involved in the same projects. Different folks, so kind of incestuous in a way, but it's been great. So in just having that workload, it made it really, really difficult. So expanding the number of research needs in the community requires additional expertise beyond the URC's partnership, and that was another challenge. And the fixed scope of research content expertise among academic partners was also a challenge. So as we were doing our work and we're learning lessons and we're getting feedback from the community that want us to go and perhaps, for example, in our project working with youth, we need to bring expertise in a particular area around youth. And that takes time and a lot of people who are already in the project effort to make that happen. And so it was very challenging. So securing the NIH funds really helped provide the critical support that the URC needed to expand the infrastructure. And the overall goals are to expand the infrastructure and facilitate new collaborative relationships to conduct and disseminate health science research, also enhance the capacity of community entities and academic researchers to engage in equitable partners. Another goal is to increase the number of community and academic collaborative research partners, partnerships that are established. And we're using a variety of approaches to do that, which I will be talking about in the next few slides. So the Detroit URC community members, they really play a critical role in meeting the goals. We created a community research association positions, and we have three Detroit-based representatives from the URC board: Ricardo Guzman, who's CEO of Community Health and Social Services Center Incorporated, and he's my boss. Zachary Rowe, who's the executive director of Friends of Parkside, and Lanisi Jones, who's vice president for programs at the Neighborhood Service Organization. And they, along with community, academic, and staff representatives from three existing URC partnerships, as well as the overall URC board, they make up the infrastructure committee, which oversees all the project's work. And we have done everything from the activities for the goals, from hiring someone to fill new positions at the URC, overseeing the small grant program, as well as developing a new research network. So we established a new research network. And this network provides linkages between academic researchers and members of the community entities. It's a virtual entity that's hosted and maintained by the URC. It facilitates information sharing and expands communications about research interests and opportunities, develops linkages and collaborative partnerships between academic researchers and community organizations, and also provides capacity building and ongoing support to conduct collaborative research. We've conducted 20 interviews so far with the existing community partners to determine the research needs, and those are being analyzed at this time. We also created a network of member directory for the URC website, and the directory has the organization's mission, the activities that they're doing, the research activities that they're interested in, and also interests of academic researchers as well. And our aim is for people to be able to go to the network, researchers as well as the community partners, and kind of see what and try to find a partner that's interested in the same things they are in researching. So when we go out to conduct these interviews and for the academic as well as the community partners, or future partners, we develop this research network fact sheet, which kind of explains everything that we're trying to do. We also developed an enhanced communication system using social media, and we hired a communication specialist, Julie. I think there you are, Julie. Julie's done an amazing job in helping to redevelop the new website, as well as we now have a Facebook page, we're on Twitter, LinkedIn, and People Movers profile. And then we also have a newsletter for the network that's going out. And this has really expanded our ability to communicate and reach out to other people so that they can see what we're doing, and hopefully they can join the network. So one of the other approaches that we've used is building the capacity of new academic and community partners to engage in collaborative research. We develop minimum guidelines and expectations for engaging in collaborative research, and that was some dialogue that we had on how CBPR or how collaborative do folks need to be, and so it was kind of challenging because the folks that have been doing this for a long time, you know, we're just used to doing it one way, and we realize that we really have to be more flexible as newer people are coming in and getting more and more familiar with collaborative research. And then we also established a small planning grant program, and that was for partnership formation as well as partnership development grants for members of the network and more broadly for academic researchers and Detroit-based community organizations. Okay, so going on with continuing with building capacity for new and community partners, we developed a curriculum for training community participants about research, CBPR workshops for newly established partnerships. We have awarded people who from the community to participate in a summer-long graduate program, not a summer-long, it's a week-long graduate program that the community partners and academic partners spend a week talking about or teaching folks about CBPR. And so we were able to award some scholarships for people to attend, Detroit-based community representatives to attend. In addition, we also providing mentoring and training to faculty, staff, and community partners on using CBPR and also learning opportunities about CBPR through postdoctoral programs.
Thanks. Okay, so just briefly, some specifics about some of the things that Gloria just outlined in terms of our outcomes to date. We're about a year and a quarter into this grant. So our website has been redesigned and is now serving as the locus for community and academic entities to learn about and potentially link with one of the with research partnerships in Detroit. We have the newsletters disseminated, and two small planning grants have been awarded. And six scholarships awarded for the CBPR short course, two new CBPR partnerships established, and we're about to do a CBPR training for one of those new partnerships. Just real briefly in terms of the challenges, of course this always takes time, but there was a lot of labor intensity to establish the foundation for expanding on what we've already been doing. And as Gloria mentioned, establishing flexible collaborative research guidelines took a lot of discussion and thought. And it's difficult sometimes to assess the extent to which the small planning grantee applicants were really going to adhere to a collaborative process. But we think that infrastructure support is critically important to sustain these kinds of partnerships. Community partners are critically involved in this process. And what's perhaps most affirming is the reaffirmation among the partners involved with this of our original partners to the CBPR process. Thank you.
Thank you, guys.